Loving God, as we turn to explore your word a little bit more, we ask that each one of us might know the prompting and the guidance and the understanding of your Spirit, and that each of us would discover something more about your greatness and your love for us. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I always find it interesting that with hymns, when you hear them, you suddenly realise just how much they relate to something. And I was just reflecting on verses 2 and 3, relating to the past few years, past 18 months or so. Where there is despair in life, let me bring hope. There is darkness, only light. And so many people have brought that hope and that light, haven't they, to others, often going out of their way. And I'm not sure that John would have been singing this one at that moment of having his head chopped off. In the giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. Amazing words. The two would appear to be very different readings. And the one thing they seemed to say to me was expectations. Life is full of expectations. I have expectations of other people. Others have expectations of me. And we've seen so much of that recently in sport, haven't we? The expectations that are put onto players. The prime example is probably the England football team at the moment, with the expectation, however much it is played down, that they're actually going to win tonight. I mean, I guess most of us will hope that they will, but the expectation that media put onto them, the players, and the fact that they dig down to find their roots and what made them what they are. And then we have Wimbledon. And again, I mean, what a day today. Men's finals, football final. I don't know how I'm going to cope. But the expectation that are put onto some of the players. In the past, we've seen it on people like Tim Henman and Andy Murray. The women's winner yesterday, Ashley Barty, was saying that she actually gave tennis up for a while. I think it's about 2011 or 12, she won the junior championship. But when she went home, all the folk that came out to meet her, all the expectations were suddenly on her, and she realised she couldn't cope. So she actually stood back from tennis for a number of years. But she also recognised that she loved the sport. And so she made sure that her mind was equipped to deal with it all. And then there's that young British player, Emma Raducanu, I hope I pronounced it right, who also, at the beginning, was just playing for the fun of it, nothing to lose. And suddenly, as she progressed, people put expectations on her. The media were putting expectation on her, and I guess we were subconsciously even didn't say anything. And the final game, when she had to retire because she couldn't breathe, she then said she wasn't fully prepared, it was all something boiled up as to what was expected of her at that moment. Other people's expectations. And we see it not only in football and tennis, but also cricket and all the other sports, as well as other avenues of life, those expectations. And I guess we have those expectations for our future at St. Martin's. When somebody begins here, what sort of expectations are we going to have of them? What are the things things we expect them to do? What are the things we hope they're not going to do? But actually, the only thing we can do is to pray and seek God's wisdom and guidance. And so we come to that first reading from the book of Samuel. And it's not all clear-cut. When you go home, read the missing verses, which are verses 6 to 12a, and you'll see what happened at that point. The fact that somebody died because they touched the ark. And the ark wasn't moved for a while. There were guidelines. And David broke them originally by having a cart to carry it on. Where all tradition was that it was a tribe of Levites that actually carried it on their shoulder with poles. And so what David had expected was delayed. But finally, he was able to bring the Ark of God up to just outside Jerusalem with rejoicing. And David was so pleased, so happy, because of his love of God. We were told that he was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And that he was leaping as well. And I just wonder what your reaction would be if you're in one of the hymns we listen to. Somebody got up and danced and leapt around with joy. Looking around, I can imagine one or two reactions. Probably something a bit like mine, initially. But it's the expectations of that, what's acceptable, what isn't. And David's first wife, Michal, was watching. And she obviously had a concept, particularly as she was a daughter of Saul, as to how a king should behave. And it wasn't like that. In the same way, we have expectations of how the government and the royal family should behave. And if they step outside that, we can't always cope with it. But in David's joy and expectation, his love and trust in God, and his own knowledge of himself, and just how great God was and how God has guided him, that he was able to let go and worship. And not only worship, but to feed the great crowds that were there. And that raises an interesting question, doesn't it? How confident are you and I in being myself? In being the person that God has created me to be? In living his love out in the way that he wants me to, even if people don't always quite like it? It's quite a challenge, isn't it? And then we come to John the Baptist, somebody who had a special calling to go before Jesus, to prepare the way for him. He challenged the people of Israel. He challenged the religious leaders to recognise that God wasn't first in their life, that their lives and what they did was not one where they loved him, God totally, and loved their neighbour. And he was also a person who wasn't afraid to challenge. I don't know how John challenged, whether it's a comfortable way of doing it or not. But we don't like to be challenged, do we? I certainly don't like to be told that something I've said or something I've done wasn't quite right. I can get quite uptight about it. But I do try later to reflect on what's been said and and sort of think, and often I sort of think, yes, they had a point. And hopefully, through that and through prayer, it makes me more Christ-like in my dealings with people. That's my prayer. Whether it happens or not, it's a different matter, because I'm just human. But Herod, he was really a puppet king, didn't like it, but he was being told off for marrying his brother's sister, no, his brother's wife. But if you do go back into the family history, there's all sorts of marriages across here, there and everywhere. And so he put him in prison. But there was something that prevented Herod from killing John. There was something that said to Herod, there's something special about this man. I can't make sense of it, or I don't want to. It really challenges me. But there's something special about him. He is a prophet, a God-loving person. And we're told that he often went to listen to Herod. And there's so many people, aren't there, who come to church, or listen to Christians, or listen to services online, on the radio, or read the Bible, or Christian books, or see films, but questions come into their minds. They haven't quite made that step. They're still questioning, they know there's something there. They know that somewhere God's love is touching them. And it could be because they don't want to own up to their guilt, like Herod's wife. And Herod probably himself. And sometimes we really do need to take that step and acknowledge what is preventing us from going along in our walk with Christ, or even coming to know him for the first time in a very real way. And then, like all of us, in days gone by, Herod wanted to celebrate his birthday with a rave up for all the powerful and the good men of the area. And for wine flowing, the good food, his wife's daughter came and danced. She wouldn't be that old, probably 13, 14, somewhere around there. And I'll leave it to your imagination what sort of dance that she did in front of all the screaming men. And they obviously all loved it. And Herod did. And in that moment of joy or sadness, we promise all sorts of things, don't we? And that's what Herod did to the king. Except he couldn't give up half the kingdom because he didn't actually own it or rule it as such. But it was about acknowledging his worth. And the last thing he was expecting is what she asked for, the head of John the Baptist. It solved a problem for his life, but hit him hard. And he had that horrible dilemma, that horrible choice, which sometimes we have. Did he go with a request because he had promised? Or could he stand up and say, no, it is not right, I can't do it? But what tipped him was other people's expectations, but he would hold to what he said. And there's something in our own lives, isn't there? Where sometimes we have to be humble and gracious to say, all right, I said I could do that, I promised that, but actually, I can't do it because of A, B, C, and D. And it's usually because it's something that wouldn't bring glory to God's name. And we're all guilty of it, aren't we? But it comes back to be a little bit like David, but we need confidence in God, in his love for us, in our walk with him, that he will help us to acknowledge when we're right, when we're wrong, and when we need to say, sorry, minute's sake. And saying sorry and admitting I've made a mistake is often the hardest thing. But John couldn't understand. Perhaps he was just trying to push Jesus to one side, but he was just assumed that John had come back from the dead somehow. Somewhere in his little mind, he had a hope of resurrection, as we do. Except for Jesus' death and resurrection, we know that that is true. And so, interesting passages, all about expectations that others had, that individuals had. Expectations that were wholly right, and expectations that were wholly wrong. So for myself, and for each of us, I just pray that when we put expectations on others, we know they are the right expectations. And when we have expectations on our relationship with God, we might have confidence in ourselves of being children of God and being filled by His Spirit.